Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Zero Lux. Let the intro begin.
We are the main ghost hunters.
How many people are here?
I can be touched sometimes, Dad. Are you happy to see us?
Who's that?
He's older.
Someone here? Hello?
So Devin is the only thing wrong.
Are you touching the girl's hand?
Whoa.
How long have you been here?
Do you stay here in this house?
I just saw my door off that wall. Are you able to come down here?
What was that?
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Maine Ghost Hunters Presents Zero Lux Radio. Tonight we are continuing our paranormal fraud series. Our guest this evening is Danielle Battistelli, and she comes from New Hampshire area. And we also have Kat here. So Kat, we're going to just chat up a little bit before we kick off the interview. Chat, you there? Kat, you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Great.
How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing pretty good. Yeah.
I know we don't want to have any spoilers before the before the interview kicks off, but we had a pretty good interview with Danielle, and pretty informative. And it actually, some of her interview content has spurred us to kind of look into and investigate some more topics for further radio shows. So.
Okay.
Anything you want to, just kind of do a shout-out about before we start the interview?
I definitely want to mention from the start that Danielle is on a different team now. She's not on the team that the issues that she's going to be discussing. She's not on that team anymore. And that team was very closely related. Actually, she very closely related to that team that we hold near and dear to our hearts. Is that how you put it, Tony?
Yeah.
So it's just, as you listen to this podcast, to our listeners, as you listen to this podcast, consider that I don't want to be crass, but I don't want to come off as crass, but this team is a part of that larger organization up here in New England, which is a major concern considering all the fraud shows that we've done about that organization. And,
what was that last part? I missed it.
Poop rolls poop. Downhill. It does.
Poop rolls downhill. Yes, it certainly does.
Right, and this team is a part of that organization, and I don't want to say too much because there's actually more to that than the simple sentence. The simple statement. The depth of this simple statement, but Danielle gives us a perspective on the type of leadership that is completely obvious, evident, and, true leadership quality that is completely lacking in the major organization and the team that she was a part of that belongs to this major organization. It is a disaster all around, and that is why we are doing this podcast tonight.
Well said. All right. Well, without any further delay, I think we should kick it off and let our listeners hear what Danielle has to say. And when that's all over, it's about an hour long. Once that recording is done, we'll have you and John's also on the line. We'll bring John back on, and we'll have our review session.
All right, let's do it.
All right. So here we go, folks. Enjoy the interview with Danielle. All right, so let's start a little bit by talking about you and who you are, where you're from, your involvement in the paranormal. So, what's your last name, Danielle? Why don't you just say
Battistelli.
Okay, so your whole name is
Danielle Battistelli. Well, my maiden name is Lawrence.
Okay. Now, you're part of CJ's paranormal group, right?
I am. I'm part of Enemy, yes.
Enemy, okay. So, where is Enemy from?
Salisbury, Mass.
Salisbury, Massachusetts, okay. Yeah, so you were commenting on a thread on Facebook that was kind of shedding some light on the history of another person, or this person who was in this group in New Hampshire.
Definitely was, yep.
Now, you have some personal knowledge of this person before they were ever involved in paranormal, so let's talk a little bit about that. So you're from Salisbury, Massachusetts, right? Or
no, I'm from Atkinson, New Hampshire.
You're from,
but,
okay,
I mean, that's not that far away.
Okay. So being in New Hampshire, you knew this person personally?
Yeah, I live in Atkinson, and he lived in Concord, and we met years before he started his team, if you want to call it that, and we had dated and gone out, so I knew him from, and I actually knew him a little bit before that, but yeah, I knew him on a very personal level.
Okay. Now, how old are you now, do you mind me asking?
I am 33. I'll be 34, actually.
All right. And how long ago was this that you knew him on that personal level?
Oh,
geez. How old were you then?
I was in college, so it had to have been 2006, maybe 2007. It's been a while.
So 5 or 6 years ago.
Oh yeah.
All right. And did you guys go to college together, or you just lived in the
No, we met
area?
Online on we met online on Yahoo, and then met in person, and then things kind of escalated to that point.
Okay. Now, was at that point in time, were either of you interested in paranormal or involved in the paranormal field?
Neither one of us were involved or interested in the paranormal field. I had actually no interest in any of this until I went to college, and he approached me about it, and I'll get into that in a second. He was interested in Godzilla, horror movies like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and raising his daughter. So I never heard anything about him being in this until he called me to be on his team.
Okay. So you dated him for a while, you were in college, and obviously you stopped dating him at some point in time. During that time, he was interested in like horror movies and things like that, but nothing to do with paranormal, nothing to do with anything with ghost hunting or anything along those lines.
Nothing. He didn't even own a ghost hunting movie or a ghost hunting ghost hunters DVD. Nothing whatsoever.
Okay. Now, you said that you didn't know anything about his interest in paranormal until he called you. And when was that?
That would be the 2010, probably in the spring.
Okay.
In the springtime, he had called and said that he had set up a paranormal team, and he needed somebody who knew how to research. And you know, we had known each other for years, and even though we had broken up, which was not a bad thing, he had been asking me out for a year prior to this point, and I had been saying no, and he said that he wanted me to be his special assistant and his researcher because he knew I loved to research and stuff in college, so that's how that all came about.
Okay, so he had just formed the group in the spring of 2010.
Yep.
And this is your first knowledge of him having any interest whatsoever in the paranormal field. Well, how many members of his? How many members did he have in his group at that point in time?
I want to say like four.
Four?
Yeah, I want to say like four.
Okay. And you were going to say including?
Including himself.
Okay.
I want to say like four.
So he and three other people.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, was he dating anybody at that point in time?
I did not know that because he was asking me out at the time.
Okay.
He was repeatedly asking me out for a whole year before that.
All right. And this is after you'd already been dating and had broken up?
This is after we had broken up the first time. Yeah. I mean, we only broke up because of distance, because he lived an hour from me and didn't have a car or a license.
Okay. All right. So he had no car, had no license, lived an hour away from you. You guys broke up. And for a year before he asked you to join his paranormal investigation group, he was asking you to go out?
Yep.
And none of those times he ever mentioned any interest in the paranormal or any work in the paranormal or any research he was doing?
Nope. Nothing.
Right. And this,
not until this time that he decided to tell me he started a group.
Okay. Excuse me. Now, when he asked you, he said he wanted you to be his special assistant. Did he outline for you what your tasks were going to be?
Anything on the side, like calling people, paperwork, filling out forms, researching things, anything that had to do with extra work that was pretty much paperwork. It was paperwork stuff.
Sure.
So, I mean, and then, right. You know, he would, you know, one night, I guess, that he brought me out to the cemetery, because he did that with everybody. Was the first night I had met Sandra, and he was going over. I didn't even know who Sandra was until that night. He brought me out to the cemetery, brought me back, and he was showing me all these forms and things that were supposed to be, you know, my job. I was supposed to come up with a model for their group, and was supposed to come up with a mission statement and all this stuff. So that was part of all that paperwork, too.
All right. So he started a group, and he wanted you to come up with a motto for the group, and you to develop a mission statement for the group.
Yeah.
And so that kind of shocks me that the founder of the group has no idea what their mission statement or motto should be to start with, but that's a whole different topic. Now, he took you out to the cemetery, and the purpose of that was for training or for what?
Yeah, no, that was, well, the cemetery itself was supposed to be for training. He, you know, would walk around and touch gravestones and tell me that they were talking to him. And all I could do was just stand there and kind of look at him with my head cocked to the side, because as I said, I've known him for years, and he'd never acted like that ever before. So for me to watch him do it then, I was like, all right, so now he's suddenly talking to things.
So he's walking around touching gravestones and claiming they're talking to him?
Yep, and that he's seeing things and this and that. And I was like, okay, if you say so, you know, kind of a thing. Like all of a sudden. I was just, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And then we went back to the house, and then Sandra came bursting through the door and wanted his help with something. And
cemetery, and was it nighttime? Was it daytime?
It was nighttime. It was evening. Not night, okay. Night, but evening.
And was it just the two of you, or?
It was just the two of us. It was supposed to be just the two of us all evening. Sandra was not supposed to show up. She was supposed to be at a crossing over with somebody else who didn't show up at it, which is why she came over.
Oh, okay. So Sandra was off to a crossing over while he was in the cemetery with you, and it was the purpose of being in the cemetery again was supposed to be for training.
Yes.
Okay. Now, while you were there, what exactly did he do for training? Did he show you any equipment? Show you how to use any equipment? Did he show you how to conduct any investigations, or was it all?
It was all just walking around the cemetery and asking, you know, if I felt anything, and showing me, you know, how to use a camera, basically, which, you know, I know how to use a camera, but okay. And it was just him touching gravestones mostly, telling me that he could talk to them. I mean, to be honest.
All right. Now, you finished that portion of your evening, and you went back to his house to review paperwork, I presume.
Well, we're supposed to be doing paperwork.
Okay.
Yeah.
But instead of doing paperwork, what happened? So,
what was your question? Sorry.
You returned to his house, and the premise of returning to his house was that you were going to review paperwork?
Yes.
Okay. But that's not what happened?
No. Sandra came over came in, bursting through the door. Somebody didn't show up for a crossing over. So we end up going with her in separate cars because, of course, I'm going back to Eric's house to learn more about ghost hunting or paranormal investigating, however you want to put it. And so halfway up there, he gets in my car because, of course, he has to explain what's going on. Still, you know, none of this is girlfriend, boyfriend. Not, there's no kissing. There's no hugging. There's no nothing. And we get there, and we walk in, and there's a priest there and the father of the person who had supposedly, you know, he had died, and father's there. And Eric stands there in front of the priest and says, I've been doing this since I was 10 years old, and I just cockheaded looked at him like, are you serious? So, you know, I was amazed. But, I mean, that, you know, Sandra went upstairs with the priest, and they did their thing, supposedly, came back downstairs. Me and Eric were downstairs with the father the entire time. I don't know what took place upstairs. And then we went back. You know, he said bye to her in a very normal way. And then Eric got in my car, and we went back to the house.
Okay. So he proclaimed in front of this priest at a crossing over that he had been doing conducting paranormal investigations or research or whatever, however he called it, whatever he terms it, since he was 10 years old.
He didn't say it in that way. He just said, when the priest said, well, how long have you been doing this? How long have you been in the paranormal field? He said, I've been doing this since I've been 10 years old. And however you want to take that is how you want to take that.
Well, I mean, if I'm shoveling snow in my driveway and someone says, how long have you been doing this? And I say, I've been doing it since I was 10 years old, I would...
Oh, no, I take it the way you... I take it the way you're saying it. I absolutely agree with you.
All right.
I just want to make sure everybody understands the words that come out of his mouth, you know?
I've been doing this since I was 10 years old. This is the answer to the question of how long have you been involved with paranormal, basically.
Yep.
All right. And you just said that you knew him in 2006, 2007, somewhere around that time frame, and he had no interest or knowledge of paranormal. And you dated him for how long back then?
Months. It wasn't a year, but it was a while. I mean, long enough for me to be going to his mother's house, know his brother, know his niece, him to be involved with my family enough to be invited to our Memorial Day parade with my dad marched and stuff like that. Spend the weekend, some weekends here, you know.
Long enough to know that if he'd had any interest in paranormal, he would have expressed something.
If you're getting involved enough to know each other's family and be involved that much, then you would know if somebody was talking to things, and you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It would be there.
So your first knowledge of his interest or desire to have any involvement with the paranormal field was in the spring of 2010 when he contacted you. Did he tell you when or how long he had had this group set up, performed? Or
he just said
he
was starting it. He just said he was starting it.
Okay, so he's starting this group in the spring of 2010. Mm-hmm. Did he give you any insights into why he was starting this group?
He just said he was interested in it, that it was something that he's always had a passion for.
So in the spring of 2010, he told you, who he had previously been involved in a relationship with, that he's always had a passion for the paranormal.
Yep.
All right. So this evening transpires. You go to the crossing, and then the crossing over, and you leave there. What happens at that point?
We go back, and it doesn't end up turning out to what it was supposed to be. After the whole year of asking me out, we decided at that point, you know, since our relationship did not end in a bad way the first time, that the only thing that's been shocking at this point to me is that he stood in front of a priest and said that, you know, he was doing this since he was 10 years old. We decided that maybe we'll start dating, not going out necessarily, but dating. So we sleep with each other that night.
Oh, that night?
That night.
This is
Which was probably the plan to begin with.
Yeah.
It's probably his plan to begin with.
Yeah. So this is the first night that you've gone over to be involved with a paranormal group. You've met his girlfriend, but you didn't know it was his girlfriend. And you attended the crossing over, listened to him talk about, you know, being able to speak to gravestones. And he brings you back to his house, and you guys have intimate relations.
Yep. We all do things we regret.
Yeah. So that happens. Did you spend the night there? Or?
I did, yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
At this point, had you met any of his other team members besides Sandra?
No.
Okay.
No.
So you knew Eric, so you're just kind of getting reacquainted with him after not seeing him for a while. You met Sandra. You attended the training, quote-unquote training, and a crossing over. And you have no idea what transpired during the crossing. While they were doing the crossing over, what were you and Eric doing?
We were just hanging out with the dad, talking about his son, and you know, his dad was just kind of talking, and we were listening. Basically, it was all we were doing.
When was the next time you had contact with Eric, as far as going somewhere with him after that night?
Well, that's not really the next time I had contact with him.
Right, so he may have, you know, you left that next morning, I assume, and then when did you guys talk the next time?
Well, we talked frequently after. I have a friend who was very into the paranormal, and he wanted to join another team, and I gave him Eric as a reference, and he ended up joining Eric's team. But the next time I saw him was not a positive experience.
Okay. So you actually referred a friend of yours to join Eric's group. At this point, he had – so when you joined, you were not the fourth person. You were the fifth person, fifth member of the group.
It was a while ago. I might have been.
All right. And was the majority of his group made up of males or females?
I would say females.
Okay. And at what point in time – so you said the next time that you – talked to him, it was not a positive experience. Why don't you talk a little bit?
No. The next time I saw him was actually the person that I had referred to the group, and I showed up with hospital paperwork and doctor's bills because I ended up in the hospital with a bacterial infection, a yeast infection, and there was something else going on that I can't remember, but I ended up on steroids and two antibiotics because he had slept with Sandra that I didn't know he was with the night before.
Huh. Great.
Fabulous.
So, yeah.
I had referred went with me, so he is all aware of, you know,
okay.
Eric's reaction.
And was he a member? Was he now a member of this organization? Or
he is not a member of that organization. Well,
but at that point
really.
In time, you said, at that point, you said you had referred him to Eric.
He was.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, how much time had transpired?
Maybe a week or two. It wasn't long because I ended up in so much pain. I get kidney stones. I thought I was a kidney stone. I was in the hospital, in the ER. I was in a lot of pain.
So you showed up with doctor's bills and things like that. Did Eric pay them? Or?
No. Eric didn't want to have anything to do with it because if he had done that, then she would have found out. He didn't want to tell her. He didn't want anything to do with it. He did not deny it either. The only thing he did was try to change the subject.
So was Sandra there?
No. Friend of mine was there who does not mind his name being put in any of this.
Well, go ahead and say his name then if you want.
Keith Glenn.
Keith Glenn, okay. So Keith was with you, so it was just you and Keith and Eric?
Yep.
Okay. Now, and you said Eric didn't deny it, but he wouldn't take responsibility for it.
No, he doesn't take responsibility for anything.
Yeah, okay. And at this point, you still were not aware of Sandra, or?
No, because he doesn't, at that point, he wasn't even, nothing was about the two of them. I mean, I hadn't even seen, other than that one time, and, you know, I hadn't seen her, and they weren't listed as together online. There were no photos of the two of them together. I mean, there was nothing to show me that they were together at all. Oh. And, I mean, he had been asking me out for a year, so why would I think he had a girlfriend? I mean,
right.
I didn't have positive proof, really, that they were together until the blowout between that team and the other one that they were working with online. Right. And I was actually on the phone with Eric when that happened. And I was like, what do you mean you're blah, 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 blah. I flipped out. I completely flipped out. And that was right before we went to Salem, Mass. And that was a bad day, too.
We'll get to that too. Okay, so a couple of weeks after you went for your initiation into his team, which evidently the initiation was going sleeping with him that night and him transferring sexually transmitted diseases to you, you confronted him about this issue. He took no responsibility and refused to pay your bills. And
right.
then did you continue to see him after that, or were you done?
I did not continue to see him. I didn't even know if I wanted to stay on the team, but I was getting really close to team members. Like, there was a woman on the team that I really liked, and
yeah.
I felt really bad for her too, and that's a whole nother story.
Okay. All right. So how long after that did you go on an investigation? How long did it take for you to go on an investigation, a proper investigation with this team?
A long time, and he kept pushing them off because he didn't, you know, if I was around Sandra, I think he just didn't want me around Sandra. So
okay.
I think I went on probably two regular ones because he just didn't, he kept me away from everything.
So
he had me do
lots
of research.
was the team not doing investigations, or you just weren't going?
No, they did them, and I just wasn't allowed to. I did lots of research. He gave me lots of stuff to do, but I wasn't going anywhere. And he
right.
would tell me there were number limits and stuff, and then Keith would show up at them because he was supposed to go, and then he'd be texting mm-hmm. me. There were like 15 people there.
Huh. 15 people in a residential investigation?
That wasn't a residential one. But, I mean, he would text me that there were more people than there were supposed to be at certain places, and he's like, this is all crap, and he ended up quitting before he could get thrown out, too.
Yeah. So what types of investigations are these that he's conducting or that the team is conducting? Are these, like, the types of investigations that most anybody could go to if they paid to be, you know, paid an admission to get to these places, or...?
When I was on the team, and granted, I wasn't on the team for a huge amount of time, he went to, you know, older places that didn't even, you know, weren't open anymore. So it
okay.
wouldn't have, you know, they didn't pay to get in. They went to one residential place that I know of that I went to. And it was very bogus. It wasn't that the people were bogus. It was the way it was done was bogus. And it didn't matter how many of us told him that. He is always going in screaming that there's something going on. I don't have as much experience with what he's doing now because I'm not part of it. So
right. Okay.
Back then he was trying to go to, and he does a lot of cemeteries. He thinks that going
yeah.
to cemeteries is an investigation. He did that then.
Yeah.
He's doing it now.
Yeah. okay. So you were involved, how many, was it like just a couple of months, 2 months, 4 months?
Probably like in the actual like grid of it, probably like 6 or 8. But, I mean, he was pushing that was like from the very start when it was being created.
All right. So you mentioned that you went on two investigations. Those two investigations that you went on, was Sandra there?
Yes. She's
okay.
always there with a laptop.
Okay. The laptop. What's her role with the organization?
As far as I could tell with what she was doing, our job, their policy was for us to give her the pictures. And she was supposed to go through them with that laptop and post what was supposed to be posted or not. Her or Eric were going to go through them.
Okay.
And that's
decide.
How pictures were posted.
And these are evidence pictures or just any pictures?
Any pictures that we took those nights that we were just supposed to hand our pictures over and it was to be decided by them what got posted. That's what Sandra's role was to do the laptop.
All right. So she just basically did picture review?
Yeah. She was definitely reviewing.
What equipment was used on the investigations when you were attending?
A lot of cameras
okay.
and voice recorders.
Voice recorders. Any
yeah.
night vision video cameras or any video cameras at all? Or?
No. Not then. But granted, this is in the very, very beginning. Not then.
Yeah. Okay. Any other equipment, like the typical K2 meters or mel meters or anything along those lines? Okay. So just video, just audio recorders and still picture digital.
I think as he got going, he might have, at the very end of my being there, he might have gotten a mel meter.
Okay. All right. Now, Sandra's role, as far as you knew, at that point in time, was reviewing pictures and photos from the investigations.
Oh, yeah.
Was there any hint at all? You were not aware at all that the two of them were dating?
By then? Oh, yeah, by then.
Okay.
By the time that that whole explosion happened and then we went in Salem, it was right before Salem, yes. There was,
okay.
We were definitely all attuned to who was dating who.
Okay. So let's talk a little. That's backtracked a little bit before you started going. So you found out about that before.
Oh, no, wait. No, that was
going.
After. I'm sorry. Salem is after
okay.
that house. Salem is after the house. So, no, I still didn't know they were dating.
Okay. So you've talked a little bit about you were on the phone with Eric at one point in time when there was a big blow-up with another team.
Yep.
And can you tell us a little bit about that blow up, what the disagreement was all about or what the argument was about? Or?
It was because I had just read online that he was with Sandra and there was never any clue. And maybe he felt like, you know, he was being professional or whatever when we were out or whatever, but I don't think that that's why. I don't think that that's the reason. Maybe that's what people are saying. But I think it was because he was trying to sleep through his team, honestly. I'm not the only one that I know of that he was trying to get in. Well, he did get in my pants. But, I mean, I know of somebody else who he was trying to do that with and screwed up a two-year relationship at the same time. So, I mean, when it got to Salem, I was irate. You know, that thread when Sandra says I was verbal, I was verbal. I was mad. I was very mad.
So the blow up it was a blow up between you and Eric, or was it a blow up between Eric and another team?
Online, it was a blow up between Eric and another team,
okay.
And somebody wrote in, well, doesn't she know, talking about the other team's head person, that you and Sandra are together because they were at a location and had a fight. I wasn't there that night, so I don't know all the facts, but that was what was online. And I was on the phone with Eric and said, well, what do you mean you're with her? Blah, 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 blah. Because obviously we had slept together.
Right.
I was pissed.
Mm-hmm. So somebody posted, doesn't she know that you're with Sandra or Sandra's with you or vice versa? Was there a disagreement about one of the two of them attending an event or something?
There was a disagreement about what happened at the event.
Okay.
Somebody was supposedly inappropriate or something. I wasn't there.
All right. So there was some inappropriate actions on either Eric's or Sandra's behalf.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't Central. It was the other team. And Eric was – somebody said something and Sandra got mad and Eric dismissed the other team from Central and the other team and Eric didn't work together. And then Unity came up and now they're all friends. And it wasn't Sandra or Eric.
Okay. So somebody else said something inappropriate that
mm-hmm.
sparked some anger on Sandra's
yep.
behalf, and
yep.
that's when it all came about, that they were dating?
Yep.
All right. So one of the other team members on the other team made an inappropriate action or comment toward
yep.
or about Eric. Okay.
Made an inappropriate action at a location. And it was brought up, and Sandra said something about what happened, and then Eric fused it, and then somebody else said something. It was just a very extremely long thread.
All right. So do you want to talk any more details about this incident, or like who it was or what happened? Or
about the other girl?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what happened. I won't say her name because I haven't talked to her to know to let you know who she is. But I will tell you what happened. He
sure.
he would call her every night and tell her he loves her. She was with somebody for a couple years, and they had a rocky relationship, but they were trying to work it out. And Eric would tell her that he loves her and he's not, you know, that other guy is not good for her and that he's way better for her and he was going to get his license reinstated. I don't think so. He didn't have a license when he was with me or before me, so I don't think that's ever happening. And he was going to get a car and he was going to leave Sandra and come move in with her. So, you know, if she kicked him out, then he'd come live with her. So she kicked him out. And not only did he wreck the relationship, which he was not leaving Sandra for her, so wrecked it for nothing, he brought her on the team to be a magnet. She had a lot of health problems. She, you know, walked with a cane. She had severe problems. And he was gonna bring her to the most active places we had, and not tell her and not give her any protection either, not tell her how to protect herself to see if, you know, it would bring out more negativity in wherever we were. So that's what happened with that. So I don't know how much of that you got before the phone, like, decided to...
I got my question out and he started to say he called this girl every night and told her he loved her, and then I lost. Everything was gone. So I'm going to repeat my question.
Okay.
So would it be possible to tell us a little bit about what... that inappropriate behavior was and what went on?
So you want me to tell you about the other girl that was involved?
Yeah, tell us. Yeah, so something happened at an event that caused Sandra to get all upset. So tell us about what happened. Let's be a little bit
more...
Let's be a little more specific about the behavior.
Let me tell you about this girl, because that's part of the reason why I got so upset. So,
okay.
To leave her name out of it, he had been telling her for roughly the same amount of time he had been calling me and asking me out, that he loved her, like every night, calling her on her cell. And she had been in a 2-year relationship with a guy, and it wasn't a great relationship. It was rocky, but they were trying to work it out, and Eric would use that to his advantage and, you know, tell her that he would treat her better and that, you know, she can do better and, you know, that he would come down and live with her and be with her. And so finally she threw him out to be with Eric. And Eric was supposedly reinstating his license, which he's, you know, as far as I know, never had, but okay. And getting a car.
As far as you know, Eric has never had a license?
As far as I know, he has never had a license. He didn't have one when he was with me. And he, as far as I know from what he told me, he has never had one. He's ridden his bike to all of his jobs. That's a whole nother question.
Huh? I didn't mean to interrupt that, but I had meant to ask that earlier. If he's ever had a license, or if he just lost his license because of violations or what, so...
I asked him about that, and he wouldn't really, every time I asked him, he kind of dodged the question, and I don't know if he lost it when he was really young or whatever, but when I was with him, he was like, I haven't had a license or whatever. He would just tell me he didn't have it, and he's not
okay.
Had it, so.
So
he was supposed to be getting his license, and he was supposed to be getting a car so he could move out of move out of his house in Concord, because he lives in Concord and Sandra lives in Boscawen, and move down to where she lived, because she lives in southern New Hampshire. And she was all good with that, and she believed that, and she kicked him out. And then to add fuel to the fire, this girl was brought on the team to be a magnet. She walked with a cane. She had massive health issues. She had big problems. And I really got close to her at the time. She's a really, really sweet lady. She was going to be brought into the worst places, supposedly, that we had, is what he thought were the worst places we had, and was not going to be told about any kind of protection at all. So the first thing I did was take her out to get her protection, stones, things like that, teach her about that, and inform Eric that was not okay.
So, So his goal with this new member was to use her to attract paranormal activity.
Yeah. Yeah, that, I knew that before. I knew that she was, that they were, you know, together supposedly.
Right.
Yeah.
But did she know that that was her purpose? Did she know that she was going to be used as bait? Like
I told her that. No, she did not know.
Right. But that was Eric's whole intention, was to use her as bait, but he was not going to tell her that.
No, she was supposedly brought on his team, in her opinion, because they were together. Like, it, you know, just like I was brought on the team to be the special assistant.
Right. But she's under the impression that they're dating, or they're together, or they're in a relationship,
yep.
And that's why they're becoming a member of the team. Okay.
Right.
All right. All right, sorry. Let's keep going then. So you took her out to get her some sort of protection, some spiritual protection,
yep.
So she would be, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And,
that's just wrong on a level.
Yeah. So you let her in on the fact that she was there to be bait.
I did. Absolutely.
And what was her reaction to that?
I think she was mad at me at first, but then, like, within the same day, like, because we were hanging out, she kind of got over the fact that being mad at me. But she still wanted to be with him, because that night, I didn't know yet, but that night she was answering the phone, and I knew it had to have been him later, like when I found out the way she was talking on the phone. So, I mean, you would think that she'd be mad at him, but, I mean, I don't know, I guess you call it, she was, like, had her crush or love or whatever. I mean, she was mad at first at me, and then she got over it.
All right.
She wanted to be with Eric, so.
She wanted to be with Eric, yeah, okay. So he's brought you onto the team. He invited you up to his place, told you, hey, I just started this new paranormal investigation group. I want you to come up and be a member, be my special assistant. And he showed you what his special assistant terms were on that night.
He certainly did.
Yes, and then... all the while so how long before you became a member did you find out this information or not? How long before you became a member and you went up there that night the first time had he been seeing Sandra? How long had he been seeing Sandra before he slept with you?
I can't answer that. I can tell you that he slept with her the night before me, because I found that out, but I don't know how long he'd been with Sandra. I just know that he'd been asking me out for a year. I don't know how long they were dating. I don't know. Long enough for our trip to Salem, that fall, for her kids to be calling him daddy all day.
Well, okay. So he brought you up. He had a physical relationship with Sandra the night before you went up for your very first investigation with him. After your very first investigation, you spent the night with him. And now he's trying to get this other girl, who he actually convinced to disrupt the relationship she had been in, long-term relationship, so that she could be with him.
Mm-hmm.
This is now three members of this person's team who he has manipulated to have sex with.
I don't know if he ever actually got in a bed with this girl I'm talking about, because of the distance and the fact that he did not have a car and she did not drive because of her health issues, but she definitely picked out somebody for him to come live with her. So it was at that level.
Right. So fair enough. At that point, you weren't aware of a physical relationship between the two, but he had a physical relationship with you, he had a physical relationship with Sandra, and he was doing all he could to have a physical relationship with another person. Yeah.
And they were having a relationship. It just wasn't physical, that I
right.
know of. Yeah.
Right, but he manipulated her to the point where she ended a relationship.
Yeah.
While he's still in a relationship with Sandra.
Mm-hmm. And her kids were calling him daddy. Yeah.
Did this other person, this other girl, did she not know about Sandra, or?
No, she did. She did, because she knew that he had to get a car to come down and leave, because she told me that Eric had told her that he needed to get a car and his license to move out of the area he was and leave Sandra. So she knew about Sandra.
Okay.
And I didn't know about Sandra.
Is she still a member? Is she still a member of the team?
I don't think so. She's not. Okay. She's not on the site.
Now,
but that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. No, it doesn't mean anything. And as we know from some other teams' websites, it doesn't mean anything if you are on their website. So.
Well, at this point, from this morning, Eric wasn't on the site, so you know.
All right. So. So what does Eric do for work, do you know?
Well, good question. I think at this point he does dishwashing. He has worked in a hotel as a maintenance person. And before that, I definitely know when I was with him, he worked security. However, which is fun, because he got fired from that job. Now, when I say security, I mean hold a flashlight and walk around a nursing home. But he was fired to the point of can't step foot on premises again. So
really?
When I asked, and when I asked him why he was fired, he would never tell me. So when I have people from other teams calling me and saying that Eric is running security for events, I get a little panicked. Because Eric knows nothing about security.
What got you guys talking about Amy earlier when I was having technical difficulty?
Oh, we were talking. Well, what were we talking about? We were talking about the split. Oh, when I was talking to you earlier about the big thing online that happened between the two teams, that was New England Ghost and Eric's team. Central, and they had split, and it was Amy that had gotten in a fight with Sandra or whatever, and then we were talking about Amy and Allison and how people, you know, she seems to not be too bright of a person of, you know, taking things that may not belong to her. I have a friend that's on that team, and he doesn't see her in a very positive light. When people pay for an investigation. They prepaid. When I was on Central, we were teamed with Amy's team, and we prepaid for a lot of things. It's how they run. And they do a lot of paid investigations. And Amy's always the one that ends up with the money. If you write a check, it goes to Amy.
Check out to her name?
To her, yeah. And then she pay the place or whatever.
Okay. And so she sets the fee and tells you how much you need to pay her so you can attend the event.
Right, unless it's something that's like direct. There's been occasional ones that have been PayPal directly to something online, but that happens very rarely. So,
right.
But I mean, I've lost $40 to Amy because I paid something, and then things get canceled, and we never get our money back because she'll come back with the excuse, "Well, money's tight right now." Well, if people paid for an investigation, shouldn't that all be in a bank account or in an envelope somewhere?
Yeah, you would think.
It's not your money. It's the investigator's money, not your money.
Yeah, okay. Now, can I?
Well, maybe. I mean, I don't even understand why they're together, though, because they separated because of this incident that happened with, you know, an investigation, and Amy supposedly did something. I was not there, but, I mean, it was all over. It must have happened the way it did. You know, she did something very inappropriate in an investigation, and the two teams had a huge battle over it, split. Then Eric comes up with unity bullshit. Oh, sorry, crap. And then all of a sudden, everything's fine. Then it's not fine because Eric goes and uses paperwork and takes New England Ghost's name off of it and puts Central New Hampshire's name on it. And so it's not fine. And then Amy is supposedly going to sue Eric, and that's all magically disappeared. And
so,
now they're chummy again.
Yeah. So you're talking, she did something inappropriate at an investigation. Did you say you were there or you weren't there?
I was not there. I read about it online and was told about by people who were there.
I've heard something about a visit, an investigation that they did at a jail where something very inappropriate took place.
That would be the inappropriate investigation, yes.
So, I mean, enough people have talked about it, and I think I can safely say that it must be fact.
I would safely say it's fact as well. I think everybody knows about it.
Yeah. And but yet she still conducts herself or considers herself to be a professional paranormal investigator. It's amazing.
Yeah, she was making up excuses all night for that one. I had to do it. Blah, blah, blah. Making up excuses. I had to do it. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Okay. So how much involvement did you have with her team? Was it just that one investigation that you went to, or did you go on any?
I didn't do actually any of, I wouldn't go out with their team. We were required by Eric to join Amy's team. Once he joined hers and was affiliated, we had to send in applications to Amy. It was a requirement because he wanted to branch out.
Right.
So, I mean, I didn't go on any big investigations or anything with Amy's team because I wasn't part of Amy's team. That's not, I mean, Amy had all these requirements. You had to do this many a year and this and that and the other thing. And, I mean, you had to pay for everything. And I did pay the once to go somewhere. I was going to go somewhere, but I don't remember. I think a lighthouse or something. But, that ended up getting canceled and my money was gone. I never got it back. So why would I go somewhere else?
Yeah. So you did go to the lighthouse, or you were going?
No, I was gonna go to it. I paid for it, and then it was canceled, and she never returned my money.
And which lighthouse was that? Was that the Rose Island Lighthouse?
Yep.
And it got canceled. Was that because she's been to the Rose Island Lighthouse? You know that, right?
Yeah, she has. She's been there a couple times, but she's planned it like two or three other times, and those times it's been like canceled. She cancels all the time.
So how long has it been since you've been involved with Eric's group?
Since probably, it would have been like a month, maybe after a month after Salem. Because Salem was really the end of it. I mean, when Salem happened, it was just over. Even though I was still on the team for a little while after that, I was done, and Eric knew it. And Eric did not want me around Sandra ever again.
Yeah. So this was, you went to the town of Salem?
Yes, we did. We went on a fun trip.
A fun trip?
Yeah, it wasn't fun.
It was so much fun.
It was not fun.
Was this a Halloween time, anything special, or just a trip to Salem?
I want to say it was late. It was fall, but it wasn't Halloween. It was before that. It was just a fun place to go.
Okay, what sites did you go to down there? Just
we went to a park.
We
went to a park, yeah, by the water, just to have a fun day. It wasn't fun.
Were you there to investigate or just to hang out as a team?
No, just to hang out as a team. Some people brought their families. She brought her kids. Kids were, allowed if you wanted to bring them. I did not bring mine. I have two, and I didn't bring them. I knew it could have been a fiasco, and it was.
Now, it was at that point that you found out about Sandra?
No, I found out at that blowout online.
Okay. Before you went to Salem?
Before I went to Salem. But I was already mad at Salem because he would not tell her. He would not tell her anything about it. And then I saw him being called daddy all day by two children. And I was infuriated because I knew about me and I knew about this other girl. And I was very angry.
And at that point, he was already conversing with this other girl?
He had been conversing with that other girl the whole time he was trying to converse with me. And everything. He had been conversing with her and had the guy thrown out, and oh yeah, that stopped with her after
that.
Salem. That everything stopped with that after Salem. When she went with me, and when she saw him with the kids, it ended for her.
Yeah.
Ended with me before that. Obviously, I had to go to the hospital. Yeah.
Now, here's something interesting to note with, you know, that thread that you were on where you were talking about, you know, this incident with Eric and the disease. Why we see people come in support of Eric, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't see Eric coming in to make any comments. Do you have any perceptions as to why that may be? Why he's not?
Because he's a coward. He's a coward. He has his you know, Sandra, which, you know, defending him when she's the acting founder on the website now. Eric's not even on it. And if she read that site, the whole thread, I would not be defending him anymore. But then again, she probably thinks I'm lying. So more power to her, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I would be mad as hell if it was my other half.
I would say. So I'm going to go check out the website right now. So that's the Paranormal Society. What's that website, do you know? Central
What's what?
NH Paranormal.
I think it's Central NH Paranormal Society.
Blogspot.com?
I don't think it's Blogspot. I think it's an actual website. But he does have Blogspot. He has a lot of them. He actually has his own Paranormal Society. He has Eric Perry Paranormal Investigations. He has his own. He has his own web. You know, his own investigation team of himself as well.
So, now you brought up a good topic a little bit ago about. You know, Eric and this other team having their little, you know, their little tiff with each other, and then all of a sudden they're on a paranormal unity kick, okay? And I know you must be very familiar with CJ and his willingness to be vocal about paranormal unity and what paranormal unity really means with these people who are pushing for it. And, you know, my impression of why, you know, they had to buddy up and you know, make up and go on this paranormal unity kick with each other is because they get into the realization that because of the way they are and their reputations and their actions, they're not going to be able to chum up with anybody but each other and other people that will like them.
Right. Well, I agree with that. I think it's a whole shield. You know, and I mean, when it started, we all clicked it. We all were like, oh, okay, we can try this, you know. I mean, if that's what they really want to do, I mean, because we all did. We were all like, okay, you know, whatever. I think it was less than a week. I want to say it was less than 3 days. You know, we all left.
Yeah.
We were all like, all right, this is such crap, you know.
Yeah.
It was all just a window. You could see right through it.
All right. Yeah,
so.
It's a big front, and it's a big way for them to protect themselves from, and say, oh, don't bully us. We're paranormal. We're all about being open and honest and friendly with people, and you're just being bullies.
Absolutely. I was watching a video, actually last night of Eric and Sandra explaining, well, mostly Eric, you know, he just introduced her, of explaining his team, well, mostly the paranormal itself, and I could only watch a few minutes of it before I had to just shut it off because it was such a horrible explanation of anything. And he made ghosts and spirits and you know, the whole paranormal world seem like monsters, Dracula, and things that were going to come out and climb up from underneath your bed and eat you. I mean, I can't really even explain in words how bad it was. He's like, I'm here to protect you. You should never go out and do this yourself because it's dangerous. You get hurt. I mean, the words that were coming out of his mouth were really bad. He's like, I've been possessed many, many times. Like, I mean, I was like, seriously? I mean, really?
You've been possessed several times?
Yeah. And, I mean, the way he was explaining it at this, I guess it was some kind of thing with a whole bunch of people at it and done at a hotel and they all went together or whatever. He had explained it like the spiritual world is a world that's coming to get us. You know, where we're all like kind of victims to it. And, you know, it's not a positive experience ever for anybody. It's all bad and negative. That's the way he explained it. It was not a good video at all. And he said, but I'm here to protect, you know, to protect you, you know, like he's this like godly shield. And I'm like, yeah, okay. You know, he's explaining that he has these ghosts that follow him around all the time and that he sees everything and hears everything. And I was just like, I couldn't watch it anymore. I sent the link to CJ.
Yeah, there you go.
you can laugh later.
Yeah, it sounds like fun. You mentioned that when you got involved with when Eric's team paired up with New England Ghosts, that you had to fill out an application and provide them with an application fee.
Yep.
Did they tell you what the application fee was? What the purpose of that?
No fee. The fee was for an investigation. The application was something we had to fill out to get into New England Ghost, and it's supposedly we had a credit check, too.
Also, did they ask you for your Social Security number?
I don't remember. It was very long.
The only way to do a credit check is to get your Social Security number.
It was a very long application, but we had to do it because Eric required us to be on both teams if we were going to be on his.
For the listeners of the show after it's recorded and replayed, is if anybody ever asks you for your Social Security number and it's not a bank or a true credit agency, don't give it to them. It's by law, it'd be illegal for somebody who's not asking you, it's not your employer or going to be your employer or a credit agency, to ask your Social Security number. It's illegal.
Yeah.
But keep that in mind. If anything ever happens and enemy's not around anymore and other teams want you to become a member, don't give them your Social Security number ever. I guess CJ, are you there?
Oh, of course I'm here.
You're listening intently in the background there. So. At what point in time, so Danielle, I just want to start getting some interaction here with CJ as well and get some perspectives from him regarding, you know, your past involvement with Eric and New England Ghosts and coming into Anime. So how long ago did you guys get together in the paranormal field?
Who's that? Me and Eric?
You and Danielle.
Oh, well, at one point after, eventually, after a short time, Enemy was not that active, you know, to be honest, and I always put that out front because, we're not. So, we kind of moved away from him, and after a while of kind of, like, doing our own thing on the side, suddenly, you know, Danielle and Barry, for example, and Keith, too, suddenly I got messages being like, you know what, like, we can't deal with Eric's crap anymore. Like, you know, is there a place for us on Enemy? And I'm like, of course. You know, my doors are open because, you know, like, his loss is our gain.
Now, you guys were all together at the infamous investigation where Amy did that inappropriate action.
Oh, those poor ghosts. If you have to see somebody's private parts, even if you're dead, like, that's a tough hit to take. I don't care if you're an inmate or not. But, yeah, I was there. Fortunately, I was on the second tier of the jail, so I didn't actually see what was going on. But, yeah, I mean, she ran around and flashed all the cells, you know what I mean? And that's, I think, what sparked the whole debacle between them and Central New Hampshire in the first place was, you know, Sandy and them coming to blows over what was appropriate and what wasn't. Like I say, fortunately, the lights were out and I was on the top stand, so I didn't have to suffer that.
All right. So, you saw, you know, the fallout and you were getting contacted by his members. Was this like an abundance of Eric's members or CNHPS members that were having these issues with the founder, or?
I mean, it seemed like a bit, you know what I mean? It was kind of like all in a spurt, too. I mean, honestly, it was, you know, Danielle and Keith first were the ones, and then all of a sudden Barry, you know, messaged me as well on Facebook, and they're just like, look, you know, like, this is just garbage, you know. Obviously, Danielle and Keith had their reasons, but, I mean, and then Barry came in, you know, explained to me how, you know, he's a firefighter, obviously. We've had him on here before, and, you know, them giving him crap about missing meetings and investigations, like, he has a pretty important job, like, saving people's lives. And I just always took issue with that. Like, you gotta, like, life has to come first. I mean, it has to. People got families, they got jobs. I mean, there's stuff that needs to be done before you can, we don't all have the luxury of running around every weekend or any night of the week and looking for ghosts. You know, there's real life stuff that goes on.
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, I mean, we had Barry on. We did the interview with him and heard that story, and it's, you know, it's pretty amazing to be treated the way. So, Danielle,
mm-hmm.
you know, the experience that you described your very first night where you went for training with Eric, that's not the first time I've heard that. Well, of course, Barry didn't go home and sleep with him afterwards, but he had a very similar experience.
That's what he did with everybody. That's what he did with everybody. But I mean, the girls all seemed to be alone the first night. I'm not saying he slept with all of them, but I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a huge. I mean, one of we actually, Maine Ghost Hunters, we have a code of ethics that people have to abide by, and
write that too.
Yeah, they become members. One of our core rules. Is all male and female investigator will ever go off on their own, ever. So Kat and I will because we're married, but like I would never go off with you. You would never go off with John. I would never go off with John's wife. There's always going to be, you know, a third person there. If it's a team that's made up of a male and a female, always going to be somebody else there. And that's for everybody's safety.
It's a good policy.
Yeah. So it sounds like this guy, you know, he founded this team and realized, hey, look, all these girls want to be members. Now, when you first started in paranormal CJ, I don't remember, did you get hooked up with Eric Perry and CNHPS before you started Enemy?
Yeah, kind of like right around the time. I had a little thing, kind of like, it was basically me and whoever I could get to tag along for like a year. And then, you know, I met some people and Enemy was kind of born. But, you know, and I've said before, too, I was really naive, obviously, coming into this. Like, when he originally contacted me, it was in regards because he was like, oh, I see how you're doing really good with the Enemy page. He's like, I have a new team, you know, would you consider coming on and, like, adminning our Facebook page? And that's how I originally met him. I took over and was running the Central New Hampshire page as well as the Enemy page in the early days for him, you know what I mean? But, of course, being new to the field and not knowing all the crap that's really going on, you know, I was admittedly dazzled because I'm like, oh, you know, anytime somebody that you think is bigger than you takes notice of you, of course you're going to be like, oh, this is really cool. Like, you know, I'm getting noticed. And, you know, of course now I really don't care. Obviously he likes me, who doesn't? But, you know, at the time when you're just like stepping foot in, like I didn't know all this crap was going on. You know, I didn't know all the drama that was going on. I was really naive, so of course I'm like, oh my gosh, like New England Ghosts, you guys are awesome. And now I wouldn't piss on them if they were on fire, you know, but literally, like, I, you know, I'm just not impressed anymore. So, you know, but of course when you're starting out, and that's the danger, I think, and that's where people like Amy and Eric potentially, you know, can thrive, because people that are just getting into the field and have that genuine curiosity they don't know any better, and they don't know any of this crap. And, like, I wish I didn't know all this crap, but it seems like the 2 years Enemy's been around, we've just been at the forefront of drama, and, you know, whatever. I took my stand a long time ago, and I stand by it, but, you know, it's a lot of headaches, and it's a lot more than people think. Not everybody's genuine, and not everybody's here for the right reasons. Same thing as anything in life, but, you know, it's a tough pill to swallow at first.
That was our interview with Danielle. Sorry, I had my mic muted still. That was our interview with Danielle, and CJ came in at the very end. We're going to take a quick break and play a couple of commercials, and then we'll be back on the line with Kat and John. So bear with us just a moment while we play a few commercials.
Zero Lux Radio is brought to you by the Maine Ghost Hunters Media Team. Learn more about the team, this show, and how you can become a guest at www.maineghosthunters.org/media. Would you like to know what it's like to be a Maine Ghost Hunter? See us live and in action on our YouTube video channel located at www.youtube.com/maineghosthunters. Zero Lux Radio is always looking for new and interesting guests. If you'd like to suggest a guest or would like to be a guest yourself, contact Maine Ghost Hunters by phone at 207-504-6224 or send email to maineghosthunters@maineghosthunters.org. Learn more about Maine Ghost Hunters on the web at www.maineghosthunters.org. The Maine Ghost Hunters media team is looking for new and interesting stories to share. If you're in the local New England area and you'd like to share your story in person, we may be interested in interviewing you for a possible showcase piece on our media team website. Contact Maine Ghost Hunters by phone at 207-504-6224 or send email to maineghosthunters@maineghosthunters.org.
And welcome back to Maine Ghost Hunters Presents Zero Lux Radio. I'm going to bring in Kat and John. Hey, Kat, you there?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
John, are you there?
Hey, Tony, how you doing?
Good, how you doing tonight?
Good. Hi, Kat.
Hello, Tony.
Yes.
I want to get this point out. I didn't write this down, so I want to get this this point out before we actually start talking. As I was listening to this interview tonight, I've heard it a couple of times because I had to edit it, but something kind of sank in a little differently today. For some reason, and I think it's because of the conversation that you and I had earlier when we were talking about doing the show, and that's the team leader of the team that Danielle used to belong to put her at risk the moment he made the decision to force all of his members to become members of this bigger organization,
New England Ghost,
that we have been warning people about for quite some time now. We've been telling people,
Amy Morrison Rodriguez of New England Ghost,
she has an extensive criminal history, that there's fraud involved. She bankrupted the person, you know, by using her, we made it clear, the victim actually told us what happened, that she used her bank account information and emptied her bank account and bankrupted her. And this is the last, you do not want to put your identity or your financial well-being in the hands of a person like this, correct?
Absolutely right, and that's a good point. And, you know, we've been telling people and trying to get the point out, you know, trying to get the message out there, and, you know, it just goes to show that she is still pulling these antics, and you have to be careful. And it's not just her now. It's somebody else who's associated with her that's
right.
Now putting people at risk.
Right. This is the point that we were talking about earlier, and I just want to get this out, is that it's one thing for you to make that decision for yourself, but our biggest concern as Maine Ghost Hunters are clients that could become victimized because they don't realize there's a choice to be made, because the teams that are coming in and representing the paranormal field in their homes
they are making that choice for the clients when they involve this person. They're not even letting the client, okay, so they don't even let the client know that they're at risk. So that's what happened here is Danielle was put in a position where she was made a potential victim. And as she and she made it clear, she was victimized because she gave
Amy Morrison Rodriguez of New England Ghost
money to go on an investigation, and that investigation didn't happen. And what?
Amy Morrison Rodriguez, the founder and team leader of New England Ghost.
She didn't have the money to give back. And Danielle made a really good point again. Why don't you have the money to give back? I don't give a crap about your personal finances. Where's my money? This was for an event. Right? Now let me get to my big point. This is my point. She said in her interview, and I completely went over it. I didn't even really calculate it until tonight. She said that when she was forced to join this bigger organization, because her team leader wanted to be a part of this bigger organization, she said there were all kinds of things that you had to do. You had to go on a certain number of investigations a year. You had to do this, you had to do that, all these things, right? She said it really fast. But she also said that they paid for everything. Remember that?
Yes.
Okay? So what she's saying is, and you said this, you said, wait a sec, so you're writing out a check to the founder of this organization, and so she said in the price, you're paying...
Amy Morrison Rodriguez, the founder and team leader of New England Ghost.
Directly, you're not paying this location, you're not paying a business, which she,
New England Ghost.
Should be a business, correct? Because she's 501c3, right?
That's right.
Okay, so what she's saying, what I heard tonight, it floored me when I realized what I was listening to, is that the organization founder is just by signing the paperwork saying, I want to be a part of this organization, whether you want to or not, you have to sign up for a certain number of events. And Danielle said, these events keep getting canceled, and people are not getting their money back. But if you want to be a member of this organization, you must sign up for a certain number of investigations. Lord only knows how much money this...
Amy Morrison Rodriguez, the founder and team leader of New England Ghost.
...is not returning to people, and how many times this is happening, because her members are guaranteed to be signing up for a certain number every year. Correct?
Right. Yeah, and so, she's just trying to make sure she can plan to get, enough money out of people and make sure that they know they don't have any choice about it.
Exactly, because Danielle said, when you fill this paperwork out, you are saying, you are guaranteeing that you are going to sign up for a certain number of these events, and these events keep getting canceled. Now, I'm not going to get into the depth of that statement. I'm putting it out there. That's what she said. And this is why she didn't want to be involved with that organization. She didn't join that organization. She joined the New Hampshire team.
Right.
So, anyway, I was sitting here waiting for, this to, I didn't realize how long this was going to go. And it just struck me, and I'm like, oh my gosh. So every member that she has coming in is saying, okay, I'm gonna guarantee myself 5 investigations. I'm giving you, let's say, $40 a pop for 5 investigations. And if you cancel just 2 or 3 of them every year, and you've got, like we said, if you've got 30 or 40 people giving you $40, it may not be the same 40 people that are giving you $40, so they may not realize this, but you've canceled on these 40 people, you've canceled on those 40 people, and you've got $40 per person, she's making out pretty well.
Yeah.
Right?
She's making out very well, and nobody's the wiser because, not everybody's going to be paying attention to what she's doing over there when she starts advertising for more investigations and more events.
Exactly. And the wider her pool of investigators, because that's her goal, is to be all over, right? So she's got investigators in Maine and New Hampshire and Massachusetts. Mainers and New Hampshire people aren't talking to each other. New Hampshire and Vermont people aren't talking to each other, but she's talking to all of them, right?
That's right.
All right. Anyway, I just wanted to get that out. So, John, what did you think about the the initial message that was being told by Danielle about her experience with this very interesting male team leader from New Hampshire?
Well, it kind of sounded like a soap opera to me. A little bit detailed. It's amazing something like that would go on in a group. I mean, we would never let that go on with a group. And I still think the point you brought up to begin with, we've had numerous times we've heard about her.
Amy Morrison Rodriguez, the founder and team leader of New England Ghost.
Having people pay for investigations and canceling them and keeping the money. But this is the first time we've got firsthand knowledge from a person. But not only is it just people, it's her own groups, and they're making them pay for these and canceling. And that's just amazing. That's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money, and there's so many not good words going through my head right now. I mean, not swear words, but just like, it's deceitful. It's purposely deceitful. You know what? If something happens once, and I don't know what could possibly happen, but if something happens once and you don't get the money back to your members, I don't know what that could be, but God forbid. Okay, once, but multiple times? No, there's something going on here. I mean, right?
Well, just the fact that you require your members to attend a certain amount of paid investigations a year, and I'm assuming that means any teams that are part of that organization. And how many teams does she have listed? And how many countries are they listed in? And
yep.
That's mind-boggling. I'd like to see
Tony,
the tax returns.
and Tony said, and he made it. She set the price, and then you write a check out to her so you can go to it? Like, that's
right.
That doesn't sound shady to anybody. And like I said, I mean, you know, crap happens, I guess. I mean, I don't know how it could happen in a situation like this, because I've done this many times where I've taken people's money. I don't spend it. I keep it, and it goes in a bank account, and I pay the location. And I'm very anal about it because I don't want stuff like this happening to me. And so, you know, God forbid something happens and she can't get payment back to her members for one investigation. You live and learn, and you never let that happen again. But we're hearing this happening, you know,
over and over again.
Yeah, it's a repeated thing. It's what do you mean?
Things can only happen so many times before it's not an accident. You know what I mean? It's just people need to be thinking about what they're doing, and they're not, unfortunately.
Yeah, and it's like what we were talking about in one of the last shows that we did. It's because and CJ actually said it. He said there's so many new people coming into the field, and they're getting associating with these people who have their arms wide open. Hey, come over here. I'll teach you everything you need to know. It's because those people can't get themselves established with groups like ours, because we know what the heck's going on.
That's right.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And this New Hampshire guy, he's sleeping with someone who he decided to co-found this team with. That's great. More power to him. And he's hitting on another member he's hitting on a girl who didn't want to have anything to do with him, but decided, okay, I'll come up and join your team. So she purposely involved herself with him, not interpersonally as in a relationship, but she involved herself with him just person to person because she was going to join his team. She went up there for the premise of joining his team. He brought her into the team matrix and slept with her that night, not telling her that he had a whole thing going on the side. That is not okay. And then he did the same thing with this whole marginal thing with that other girl. And then she came in on the team in this whole relationship thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to get it out. He's mixing his team. I know. It's so, Tony. He's dating these girls and mixing them in with his team. You know what? If you're part of Maine Ghost Hunters, don't you dare. Don't you dare with anyone in this team. Don't you dare with any of our clients. Don't you dare with any of the places that we go to do presentations or anything that we have a professional style relationship with. Don't you dare. Right?
That's right.
It's in our code of ethics.
And we're very strict with our code of ethics, and we enforce that code of ethics, and sometimes it's painful. Painful for us, painful for our members, but, you know, that's the way it has to be.
Well, there are no exceptions. It's true, and the crew we have now, we've never had to have that conversation with, but we have in the past.
Yep.
It's disgusting to me, and for anybody to say, well, they're two consenting adults, well, no, not really, because she didn't know that he had a girlfriend, first of all. Second of all, her girlfriend was there, and he never addressed her as his girlfriend. How easy would it have been? She came into his house. Danielle was there. Then they went to the quiet location. Danielle was there. Right? And he slept with, you know, he is fully responsible for what happened here. And then when she approached him with, what the hell, he wanted to keep them separate, you know.
Yeah.
Because that's professional and everything.
Right.
Well, look at his style of investigation, too. It sounded like it was a lot of cemeteries. Everything was evil. And let's use somebody for bait.
John, how did you like that? Using someone for bait. What?
Unless it's me using myself for bait, which I don't mind doing. You never ask somebody else to do that. Let alone not ask them to do it, but you're putting them in that position without letting them know.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, like you said, we have a code of ethics, and it sounds like they have zero or none.
Well, you know why? You know why they don't, John? Because Danielle didn't write them for him. Must be. Right, Tony? I was floored when she said, yeah, I had to write the mission statement and the motto, and I'm thinking, what? You didn't join a team. You're like starting someone else's team. What are you talking about? I mean, you said
it's just kind of funny that she joins the team, and one of her first roles is to write the mission statement for the team. Okay, so you bring a new member on board and ask them to write your mission statement. Okay.
You know what, and I don't mean this personally to anybody, because it was already there in place before any of these members became members of Maine Ghost Hunters. I'll be damned if one of our members is going to write what my and your, our together, mission is for this team. No.
Yeah.
Not even
the concept is just ridiculous.
It is. It is ridiculous. I mean, this whole show is wrought with nothing but moral and ethical malfunctions to the nth degree.
Seems like that, though, even if they had a mission statement or code of ethics, it wouldn't really matter because they don't use them. If you go around the internet and look at half of them, they look like they're copied and pasted from another team. They just, I don't even think they read them or understand them, let alone use them.
That's true.
Right.
No, that's totally true. You know, and here's the thing that floored me. I mean, I was raised Catholic, and I consider myself to be a pretty morally upstanding individual. And, you know, I have my religious background, my religious beliefs and all that. And I'm listening to her talk about them being there with
Eric Perry of Central New Hampshire Paranormal Society.
Standing there in front of a priest, which, if a priest is involved, there has to be someone there who has some sort of belief that this priest can help. And I would imagine and I would hope that if the priest is there, the founder or the founders brought this priest in. Because she didn't say there's anyone else there, right?
Right.
So it's the founder, and she's watching, the father, and then the priest. So obviously the founder has to have some sort of belief that the priest can do. You know, you have some sort of belief in the help that you're bringing in. And I know that the client also has to believe in it too, but the investigation team that's bringing in the spiritual you really should believe in the spiritual help you're bringing in. Otherwise, you might as well just be a fly on the wall. And for him to so that right there tells me that, you know, he's bringing in this help, which is it should be a significant help. And he stands there
and he literally tells that priest he's been doing this since he was 10. I don't know where to go. I know, Tony, I don't know where to go. Do I go? There's a fork in the road. There's the left side is the lie side, and the right side is the freaking out of his mind delusional side, that he actually believes what he's saying. You know what? I was reading these ghosts and paranormal, not paranormal, parapsychology books full of numbers and data and stuff that no, I mean, it's such dry reading, but you couldn't get books with, like, the books that you can get now. I was reading that stuff when I was in sixth grade and fifth grade, and, you know, I mean, and I'm going to tell you what, he was a rarity to be a 10-year-old boy doing what he said he was doing that day at age 10.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a rarity. Go ahead.
I completely agree. I mean, the audacity of some of these people to just get out there and say they've been doing things that they have not been doing, it just astounds me.
He stood there in front of a priest, Tony. A priest.
Yeah.
Well, then again, given the teams we're talking about, do you know for sure it was a priest and not just one of these imaginary members that they brought in?
Danielle said she was standing. They were standing in front of a priest.
But is there someone that group brought in? You know, I'm just saying, who knows what they're bringing in is even real. From everything that we're hearing about them, everything is so make-believe. How do we know that she didn't bring this person, you know, it's one of these imaginary members from an imaginary team that she has, you know?
Yeah, I get what you're saying, John.
Yeah, I do too. We should have clarified with her. I mean, I'm going to say that she was pretty direct with just about everything that she said, so I'm imagining that the guy must have been dressed that made her think that he was a priest, but that's where I'm going. But I do understand exactly what you're saying, so that's possible too.
Yeah,
but
I'm just saying
I wouldn't
put it past them to bring somebody, you know, to do that from everything we're hearing.
But then again, if it was somebody that the founder brought in and it was just another part of his delusional, you know, people playing paranormal, then why would he ask him how long he's been doing this? You know what I mean? Like, why would he be, how long have you done this, you know? I don't know. I'm just, oh, my God. It's like, and she's yet another person, because you, me, John, Teresa, and other members of Maine Ghost Hunters were all there the day at that meetup where two of our members at different times said, oh, they know who this guy is, and both of them said in their own way that everything is haunted to him. Everything is haunted. Do you remember that?
Yep.
One of them said that he used to make a scene everywhere that they went together, which they weren't that many places. It was like a few places, saying that he was getting scratched and attacked all the time. This is what I want to get out. How many investigations have we gone on, Tony?
We've been on a lot of investigations. I don't know that I can count them.
How many times have you been attacked?
I never.
Okay. I've never been attacked. John, how many times have you been attacked?
That would be about zero.
Yeah. I mean, is Therese right there? Because I don't know how many times she's been attacked.
She's cooking dinner. But she's never been attacked, I can tell you that. But, you know, even just having that negative experience, I can only think of one. And it wasn't, you know, it definitely wasn't being attacked. It's amazing how these teams come up with everything is demons and so negative and horrible. I mean, there's been times where it's been a little nerve-wracking, but I've never had anything thrown at me. I've never been scratched. I've never been pushed down. I've never been purposely hurt in any way, even though I ask for it all the time, you know.
I know you do. Yes,
it
you
just
do.
Don't happen.
No, but let me ask you this, John. Say you and I are
you know, investigating down a hallway. We can see Tony down the other end. We're down on this end, and you say, come up and scratch me, right? And the client, say the client's sitting at the bottom of the steps, because we like to have the client involved when they're there. So the client's sitting at the bottom of the steps, and you and I are down on this end, and you say, scratch me. And you get scratched, and it starts burning. Okay?
Yeah.
Tell me, what do you say? What do you do?
First thing, is this a private investigation?
Yep, private.
Private client. I would never ask that in front of a client, because I'm not going to do anything that's going to scare the heck out of them, or,
you know,
I'm going to ask for other things. But if it was a public investigation, or, you know, or if it happened, the first thing I would do would be put my hands out and let you guys know what happened to document it. But unless we caught it happening on camera where you see it just appear, I mean, it's just an experience.
Right, but you're not gonna get scratched in someone's house, stand up and say, oh my God, I just got scratched. Look at where I just got scratched. There's a demon in here. Everybody, let's get out. Blah, blah, blah. You wouldn't do that, would you?
Oh, definitely no. I mean.
I know, Tony.
The closest thing we've ever had happen to that is Tony's leg got hot once.
And I believe the response was,
my leg is getting hot. I think my response was, well, don't touch it. Let's get a camera on it and see what it is in the light.
Right. Yeah, I remember that.
So, I mean, I could just see these people freaking out and jumping up and down and running around. For me, though, my experience would be, hey, this is what I'm feeling. Can you check it out with a video camera? Not jump to conclusions. My next step would be, okay, what did I walk into? Did I catch a nail somewhere?
Right.
I'm very skeptical, I believe, but I'm very skeptical, and I always want to eliminate any rational excuse or way this could have happened.
But all of that stuff is secondary to making sure that we don't scare the crap or cause any mental or psychological damage to the client. First.
Well, yeah, we don't provoke, and like I said, at a private client, that's not something I would ask for. Yes, I want to communicate and find out why you're there, but I'm not going to call your names, and it doesn't matter what the client has experienced to me. If it's all been negative, I'm not going to ask for negative things to happen in somebody's house, because if it does, even if it's just a coincidence that something happens, it's not really paranormal, it's still going to scare the bejesus out of the client, and I don't want to cause that kind of damage to somebody.
Right, but that's thinking about the client first. And this guy found, I mean, I've heard it in person from two people that are associated with us. I've heard it in person, and I heard it again in this interview from Danielle. And then, and he actually put it apparently in a video. I hadn't seen the video, but she's talking about watching the video. She couldn't even get through the video. She couldn't even get through it because just listening to him was just, she just couldn't stand it anymore. And he's telling people that he's there for them. He's been possessed so many times. They should not be doing this without him, blah, blah, blah. Well, gee, aren't you the center of everybody's universe? What the hell? What are you getting out of Tony? Isn't it the most pathetic thing?
I can't help but laugh. I mean, I really can't.
I'm going to tell you what. Go ahead.
Are these people, like, provoking and stuff, too? Because I don't know what they're going to get. I mean, you send out that negative vibe and invite that negative vibe. You're going to get, you know, if I was a spirit and someone's calling me names and telling me this and that and the other, I'm not going to be nice back to you, just like any other person.
John, if you listen to Barry, which you did, you listen to Barry, Barry was just stumped. He didn't know what to say either. He's explaining that this guy,
Eric Perry of Central New Hampshire Paranormal Society,
it's the same team leader as what Danielle's talking about. He said that his team leader,
Eric Perry,
was running from place to place, having these experiences, seeing things. Everybody come here and watch me communicate with spirits. Everybody, it's in here.
it's all, I mean, it's the same exact thing as standing in front of a crowd of people saying, don't do this without me. You don't want to do this without me. It's too dangerous. It's all grandstanding. It's like a, I don't know, what's the word, histrionic kind of display of, you know, for attention. It's, I mean, and you know what? He's a team leader who's associated with
New England Ghost.
We've been warning people about.
Amy Morrison Rodriguez, the founder and team leader of New England Ghost.
She was on our team. It was the last investigation she went on. She scared the crap out of one of our clients by doing that exact thing. She scratched the crap out of her arm under her sleeve. She scratched the crap out of the back of her neck with her rings, made herself bleed, and then told and was trying to tell us that that there was a demon in this woman's house, this young woman, 20-something-year-old woman with a 6-year-old kid living by themselves in her brand-new, you know, to her it was a new house. It wasn't a new house, but to her it was her new house. Do you remember that, Tony? I mean, how can we forget?
Oh, yeah.
Chasing
exactly,
this demon. Oh, my God. And what was coming out of her mouth? Tell me your name. I'm like, what is she doing? What is she doing? We're just following her around. Oh, I know, you laughed, but I was confused. We were following her around, letting her finish what she was doing so that we didn't have a fracture right there in front of the client, right? I mean, that's all I was doing, was watching her walk and do her thing. But, I mean, both of us were like, what the hell? What is going on here? And she's like, oh, ow. And she was like, oh, she tried to fake being scratched the first time, and I wouldn't buy into it. I didn't know that that's what she was doing until we were up. That was downstairs. When we were upstairs, she went for the gold, basically, and actually was like, my back is hurting. Because remember downstairs when I was down there with her by ourselves, she was like, oh, my neck is hot. My neck is hot. And I'm
yeah.
like, oh, well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then we were upstairs, she's like, oh, my neck is burning. Okay. Well, let me see. Look. She's got scratches. The scratches are they're right where her ring could get to and no further. Told everybody when she got home, put on Facebook, when she took off her shirt, there were so many scratches on her back that they couldn't believe it. Do you remember that, Tony?
Oh, yeah.
And our responses to each other were the scratches on her arm, which were in her reach, and the scratches on the back of her neck, which were in her reach, were all burning so badly that the client had to get salve, you know, out, lotion, to put that on her so that it would stop burning. But yet, all these scratches on her back, and she didn't complain once about them burning? Right?
Yeah, absolutely. It was ridiculous. It was just like,
when
does the drama stop? And that was the turning point with her.
That was it. That was it. That was the last.
Did she fall down the stairs or something?
She didn't fall down. No. And John, we literally went from, I hear footsteps, and it was the same exact footsteps from the front door up the stairs, and that's all it was I hear footsteps, and the reason why we were brought in is because her friend, her, like, ex-husband or something, had also heard the door close and heard the footsteps with her at the same exact time. So she said, oh, it must be real because you just heard it. There was nothing remotely even intelligent in this scenario. But like we said, we don't tell people, like, you know, John, we don't tell you what's going on, right?
No.
You go in, it's like a blank slate. You don't know. So this she's now the founder of this New England Paranormal Organization.
New England Ghost.
She goes, and I swear to God, the things that were coming out of her mouth, I was like, yeah, that's so far from what any of us expected. I don't even know what to think right now. And she's like casting this demon out, chasing him through the house, and I'm thinking, let's just follow, because it looks like she's on a path, and she's going to end soon. Because it looked like she was going from room to room, and there weren't that many rooms left. And I'm like, let's just go. Okay, let's move along now. Okay, well, yeah, we just scurried him out the door. Let's go.
Well, that's like the last interview we did. They brought that new team member on who had never investigated before, and he's telling the client, that the person the psychic is talking to, that's your mother coming through. And this guy has never been on an investigation before, and here he is telling the client, yeah, this is your mother coming through. He's got no idea who it is. Have we ever gotten a definite answer of who we're talking to? How do you...
Not only that, but the psychic. Right, and not only that, but telling him that it's his, it's the client's mother, and they're angry, and they're attacking people. I'm telling you, these people, it's a problem. They have issues they're trying to work out by becoming someone in a field that people just don't understand. People don't understand paranormal. Most people don't understand paranormal aside from what they've seen on television. So you and I, and you know, there are some good teams in New England. You know, and we're working hard to keep things legit, straight, narrow, legit. And then you've got these teams like this who want to go in and, I don't know, you know, be the savior of these clients and call out demons and have paranormal, you know, trying to get evidence, and they're getting attacked, and they get evidence everywhere they go, and everywhere they go, there's paranormal activity. I'm going to tell you, you know, I know, every main ghost hunter knows there's not paranormal activity everywhere we go. Sorry, that's just not the way it works. It wouldn't be paranormal if there was spirit activity. That there was spirit activity everywhere we went, because that's not the definition of paranormal.
No, and we go places where we've had experiences or caught EVPs and evidence and go back another night and get nothing. I mean, it's not even if it is a place that's active, it doesn't mean you're going to get something. And like you said, these teams are coming on after watching these TV shows, and they're acting it out, and they're doing that because their goal is to get on these TV shows.
Exactly.
It's not to find answers and help clients. It's to become a star, to showboat, look at me, I'm great.
Yeah,
they're not interested in the answers.
They want to become a Facebook sensation. That's the first step toward your climb to fame and parent celebrity. And we were talking about this earlier today, too, Tony and I. It's like people are actually mistaking Facebook friends with actual people who know who you really are. I mean, hello, 5,000 Facebook friends all telling you you're doing great, but not really a single one in your own state that even really knows who you are. There's social networking reality, everybody loves you, and then there's reality, and nobody really even knows who you are. I'd want to probably live in the Facebook world, too, if I was that desperate. I mean, God, you know, you get back from an investigation and you're one of these guys. Next day, you get up and you're like, oh, I'm going to post on Facebook. I got scratched so bad last night. I got possessed. I have an exercise schedule, an exorcism for Wednesday because I don't think I can make it through the week. How many people are going to respond to that? I mean, sadly, how many?
Way too many people are going to respond to it. But it's... none of it's true. It's all make-believe, if you ask me, so much of this. Like we just talked about, how many of us have gotten scratched?
I've been touched before, but that's a far cry from being, I can't
even
think.
When you've gotten touched, how does it feel? How hard is it? I mean, it's so light you almost don't notice it.
Right.
Or a gentle push.
Right. You just think it's someone beside, like, it. I don't know if anybody in our group right now, I remember one of the last times I got touched, I thought it was the person that was standing behind me. So, and I got touched, like, it had to be two or three times. I finally turned around thinking, well, maybe I'm not giving this person enough space. Maybe I need to step forward. Why don't they just say that? So when I turned around to look at him, he just stared at me. He was like, what? And I'm like, have you been touching me, like pushing me forward? And he's like, no. But it's like that. It's like a passive thing. It's not anything that would make you think, oh, my God, I just got, you know, like that was a spirit. You know, it's so passive. It's such a, I just can't think of any time where any of our investigators have ever been any version of attacked, ever.
Yeah, and that light touch that we're talking about, these other teams that we've been talking about, that would all of a sudden turn into an attack. Oh, my God, they're trying to push me down the stairs and knock me down and beat me up. And
yep.
You know, so... And it doesn't happen that often. I mean, we're lucky if we get sounds, let alone anything else.
No kidding. It doesn't happen nearly as often as we'd like it to, that's for sure. I mean, I would love to be there to see something actually visualize, you know, like physically manifest itself as proof that, you know, that it's there. I mean, it would be unfortunate for you to get scratched, John, but if it's gonna be a physical manifestation of proof that it's there, I guess you'll just have to take the hit. But
my problem would be I wouldn't believe it. I'd spend hours trying to figure out why it happened. But that's why we're there. We're trying to figure out why something happens and what might have caused it until we boil it down to, well, there is nothing here that could cause it, because we have seen a couple of real spectacular things. And so far out of all of them, it's like, okay, what made that happen? And we spend an hour trying to figure it out. You know, we're not running away from it. We're not jumping on our phones and texting on Facebook, oh, my God, this just happened to me. We're looking for reasons to why it happened. And even after the fact, when we can't find a reason, we're not jumping on Facebook and saying, oh, my God, this just happened to me. About the most you get out of this is, what a great night that was.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly. No, that's true, because even in person, when we can't figure out what it is, we've got cameras on almost everything as much as we possibly can. So there's no way that we're going to update people on it, because we have to go over the video evidence first. I mean, by the time we actually get around to actually coming to a conclusion, we're talking probably close to a week, maybe more. People have forgotten about our investigation experience. I want to get to one more thing before we run out of time. I'm going to do it really quick. She said that this guy,
Eric Perry,
rides his bike to work. He's like a 40-year-old guy riding his bike to and from work. And I'm not trashing on people who are green, because I'm totally green. Like, I like that, okay? But for a 40-plus-year-old guy to not have his license, and then she goes on to say that he would never tell her why he didn't have it. She thought that he might have, I'm not sure if it was in this conversation, but the conversation, the real-time conversation was more like, it's suspect as to why he doesn't have his license. The other thing that goes with that is being fired from that nursing home where he worked, quote-unquote, security, and what she said was all he did was walk the building with a flashlight to the point where he can't be there. Okay, well, here's the thing. When she brought up the point about paranormal teams hiring him, or not hiring, well, I don't know, hiring, but making him in charge of security, that pretty much, that is a very colorful, it spotlights the problem. It's a prime example of the overall picture, that you have a guy who walked a building, you know, in the late hours of the night with a flashlight, which is security duty to a degree, but that's all he did, check lock doors, check lock windows with a flashlight, got fired to the point where he could never go back again because it was prohibited. He is not allowed on the grounds. So whatever the heck he did, he can't even go visit his grandma if she's there. Like, he can't go there. Right. And now he is the head of security for these paranormal events. People, that's the perspective you need to take when you're looking at a situation such as this. There was a lot of this in paranormal. This guy is a security detail flunky. But he is your head of security at your event, because that's how he poses himself. That's how he presents himself, that he is fully qualified. His qualification was he got fired, and he can't return to that location.
you said overall picture. I just can't get past that mental image of this 40-year-old guy showing up at the client's house on a bicycle with all of his
gear. I know. I'm going to tell you, I'm thinking the same thing. I'm like, I have a paranormal team. Okay, can you come pick me up? Because we have an investigation. I need a ride. Tony, I don't think he'd laugh so hard. Except for, I mean, this show, you just keep laughing. It's like,
it's so ridiculous that it's funny. It really is. It's so ridiculous that it's funny.
I know. It's like these two guys that were telling us about their experience. One of them couldn't stop laughing. Do you remember that? He just couldn't stop laughing. I couldn't understand what he was saying. He was just like, this guy, he's ridiculous. And then the other guy was he was in such a detestable state. He did not want to talk about
Eric Perry.
You remember? He rolled his eyes and, like, started to walk away. And we were like, no, wait. Because, you know, we were all congregating there and waiting for to start our event and everything. And he was just like, he wanted nothing to do with it because it was so pathetic to him. He was like, this guy just wasted all of his time being involved in this team, this quote-unquote team, to find out that it was nothing but a giant joke. And the only reason why he joined, he didn't even live in the state. He doesn't even live in New Hampshire. Remember? He joined this New Hampshire team because it was posed online as this really grand thing with this really great leader. And when he got into it, he realized he wasted so much time and energy. It was just pathetic. He just didn't want to talk about it. He was like, it's a joke. It's a joke. And that's, I mean, he was just ticked about it. So how much time do we have left, Tony?
We have 3.5 minutes.
All right.
If I could say real quick, I think this interview here, one of the most important things that it has brought into a whole new light for me, like you said earlier, and if people didn't hear it, go back and listen because you got to listen close.
Amy Morrison Rodriguez of New England Ghost.
This person has been taking people's money for investigations and canceling them. Now we have someone with a first-hand experience. Not only is she doing this to all of her members of teams that are just teams that aren't even hers, teams that are just part of her big organization. She's taking their money and customers' money, people who want to go on investigations, taking their money and then canceling investigations and not receiving any of this money, which is a big fraud. It's just blatant theft. And this is an account, a first-hand account from someone that it has happened to, which I don't think we've had in any of the other interviews of someone talking about going to these events or not going to the events, but paying for them and never getting the money back. I mean, that's just brought it to a whole new level.
That's
New England Ghost.
That these little teams belong to, and she calls them branches. And so this New Hampshire team is
Central New Hampshire Paranormal Society.
Is one of those branches. So that, I just wanted to clarify what you're saying. That's all.
And so when we're warning people about this group, and they say, well, we're not actually part of that group, we don't deal with her, well, you're still being affected by it. And you're not doing anything about it. You know, wake up.
Yep. All right.
Well, we have just a minute left here, so we want to say thank you to our listeners. Thank you to Danielle, and thank you to CJ for joining us for that interview and, you know, sharing your experiences with what happened to you with these teams. And thank you to our listeners again. We hope that you join us for our future episodes of Fraud and the Paranormal, and check out our archives and check out our website, www.mainghosthunters.org, and check out our other website, www.zeroluxparanormal.com. Thanks, John. Thanks, Kat. Have a great night. We'll talk to you again soon.